This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to talk to Dr. Alex Beebe, Assistant Professor of Geology at the University of South Alabama. Again, last time I was bothering you, Dr. Beebe, we had a earthquake reported at what, northern Alabama, east Tennessee, that area, and now I'm ringing your phone again, man. Hey.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, you know, every time it shakes, right, I pick up the phone and call you. And first of all, yeah, tell folks what you do at South.
Well, at South, I teach hydrology classes and geophysics. So, you know, I'm either looking at water or I'm looking at earthquakes and other sorts of physical phenomena that take place.
Now, this would be one of these, there's a lot of people probably today, well, maybe more lately, that have woken up and said, oh, wow, we do get some tremors around here. But it's not ever been, you know, growing up, a thing we ever thought much about. Hurricanes, yes, other, you know, other storms, those kind of things. But the ground shaking beneath us, you know, the fault lines was not something we grew up thinking much about.
Yeah, that's right. Although, you know, there are a couple of faults that kind of extend through the area where these earthquakes have been occurring over the last week or so. So there are faults around us, and they're deep within the ground. It's just most of those faults are what we call dormant faults. They're not active. We're actually on kind of a passive margin between the plate that contains North America and then the oceanic plate that has the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. So we should be a pretty quiet area. You know, passive, you think quiet, you think not a lot of earthquakes.
But I mean, I remember last time we talked about, you know, you got to go to the northwest a good bit. Back in the 1800s, though, the New Madrid fault line really had a big boom. There, I guess, a couple of them, one big enough to form a lake.
And that's the thing. These we call these intraplate earthquakes. So these are faults that are kind of stuck inside the continent that at one time probably formed as a result of a continental collision, maybe a mountain forming event, or maybe an ocean forming event. And so there are already fractures in the rock that are deep there. It just takes something, usually geologic time, for those faults to slip every now and then. But they're much more quiet now than they probably were in the geologic past. So in the case of the New Madrid Fault Zone, in the case of the earthquakes over at the Alabama-Florida line, you know, these earthquakes are not nearly as frequent. And what we see is just kind of settling that will take place. So we'll see the crust just kind of, over time, accumulate sediments on top and build up a little bit of load that eventually lets itself go and releases usually less frequent, smaller magnitude earthquakes. So just enough to get people talking, but you know, not typically big enough for us to see lots of damage.
When you say builds up a load before, is it coming from the top down, or is it actually these plates, are they rubbing together or banging together here, like we kind of picture, you know, the ring of fire or other fault zones?
Well, at one time, it would be coming from below, as you described, by plate motions, and that's how these faults all formed. But now, you know, we don't have motion in our area. We're on, again, a passive margin, so there's no collisions taking place, there's no spreading. You know, we don't have any volcanic activity, which you typically associate with moving plate boundaries. So these formed, but now the pressure that would cause an earthquake is coming from the top. And in our case, we're building up massive amounts of sediment that are coming down through the Alabama Tongariro River system and the Mississippi River system to an extent, too, are dumping all of this sediment. And good time right now, if you drive across the Bayway or the Causeway,
sure,
you'll see that sediment coming from a good portion of the state of Alabama, and it finds its resting place here on the Gulf Coast. So we're dumping all of this sediment, we're putting a lot of weight kind of in our area, and that causes the crust to sag ever so slightly. In fact, here in Mobile, we're actually sinking at a rate of about a millimeter a year, so nothing that you would notice over the course of your lifetime. But, you know, that's pressure that's being put onto the crust. And if you find an area of weakness where there's a pre-existing fracture or a fault, then you may not have as much bending of that crust. It may not be as smooth, but you may have a more jarring motion, and you may have these sudden slipping events that's causing these earthquakes, we suspect.
It is an interesting concept for those of us that don't study this like you and have the education to think about enough sediment load being weight-wise to to push down and, like you said, bow the crust. I get this idea this crust is this immovable object, but in fact, I guess it's not.
And well, the thing is, I mean, it's kind of like we're watching collisions, like a train crash in very slow motion. I mean, we talk about geologists, you know, we're playing with not, you know, tens of years, hundreds of years. We may be talking about thousands of years. We may be talking about millions of years of time. So this is, you know, think about the sediment that's coming right now and entering Mobile Bay and how cloudy the water is. And imagine that continuing on for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. That's a lot of sediment.
Sure.
In fact, we have several thousand feet of sediments that have accumulated in our area. And that's a lot of weight, a lot of pressure that's being put on the deep crust. And so the crust is accommodating that weight and kind of sinking as a result in our area. But there are places on Earth where we actually see the crust is rising. It's actually coming upwards. And I think Antarctica is a good example. We're losing ice, and this has been going on for the past 20,000 years or so. And as that ice has melted over time, there's less weight pushing down on the continent. And then it's actually starting to rise. It's actually coming up. So these are very, very slow processes for the most part that take place over what we call geologic time. But occasionally we see more rapid movement, and that's the case of the earthquake, where you're just building up load, you're building up stress, you're building up pressure until you finally hit the snapping point, the breaking point, the weakest link, and you get a sudden slippage that will cause these earth tremors and cause the earth to shake.
Just joining us, talking to Dr. Alex Beebe, geologist with the University of South Alabama. You mentioned like the New Madrid Fault Zone, and we hear about fault lines, and they have names. Does this area around here we're talking about, does it have a name? Is it named, or is it just part of another area?
Well, yeah, it actually does have a name. If you go to the Alabama Geologic Survey, if you're interested, you can actually see a map that has this seismic zone plotted. And they call it here, kind of on the broad scale, the Bahamas Fracture Zone. And so you have this long fracture, this long fault that extends through kind of the southern part of Alabama and then into Florida, and makes its way, if you extrapolate it from our area down to the coast of Florida, it makes its way towards the Bahamas, which is where it gets its name.
Wow.
But within that seismic zone, there are smaller portions where things get a little bit more detailed for us.
Anything does it get your attention that there have been two? Now, these have 3.1. I don't know what the one was back on the 7th. These aren't major earthquakes or anything, but the fact that there have been two in three or four days?
You know, it's not uncommon to see swarms of earthquakes. So you know, we're thinking about this load has been building up for some time now. The last earthquake actually to take place in that area was back in 1997, and it was much larger. It was a 4.9 magnitude, which, just to put that in perspective, each number that you go up on the magnitude scale is an increase in energy of a factor of 10. So it was 100 times more shaking, in other words.
Y'all listen to that. Yeah, because I think people get lost in that. You know, the incremental versus logarithmic. Once again, the jump from 3 to 4 is how much?
From 3 to 4 would just be, so one whole number increase is a factor of 10. So if you go from 3 to 5, so it's 4.9, so about 5, that's 10 times 10, which would be 100.
Wow.
So you know, at that point, when you hit a magnitude 4.9, a magnitude 5, let's round it off, that's going to, you know, everybody around is going to notice it. That's when you're going to start to see damage to structures, especially in this area where we may not be as prepared for an earthquake of that magnitude. But around 3, which is, 3, and I think the one earlier a couple days ago was a 2.7, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of at the boundary where people will start to notice. So you may notice things shaking. You may, if you have a lamp hanging from the ceiling, you may see it kind of shake around a little bit. You might, it's going to be rare, but you might hear rattling in your windows. And you'll probably say, you know, what was that? Did a truck just drive by? You know, did something heavy just roll by us? And if you're isolated and you don't see anything, then you'll probably start to ask questions that, you know, was that an earthquake? I'm not sure. But at a 5, magnitude 5, there's no question, there's no mistaking that something is wrong, something is going on for us here. So, yeah, back to your original question, you know, having these two earthquakes back-to-back, we're probably just building up pressure, and then you see a little bit of slippage in one area, and then the load shifts to another area along that fault, and if it's weak, it can let go as well. So you know, a lot of times these earthquakes will come in swarms in a certain area. We have foreshocks, you know, preceding a major earthquake, and then sometimes aftershocks that take place as well. If that load kind of shifts around until it finally catches on that fault, and we can stop the movement. It's not super surprising to see, you know, earthquakes, and there may be another one that's on the way, or maybe another few that are on the way. It kind of goes with that rebalancing that load and trying to reach a new equilibrium, and it'll probably stay locked up for some time until another set of earthquakes comes, you know, maybe in 10, 20 years.
You know, I've got to sneak in the back of one of your classrooms and take notes, because I've got the questions like thinking about the sediment load, and I can picture that absolutely building up. But, you know, you think about the sediment load in the bay or out in the Gulf where that is dumped. But then you have the center of this earthquake up in, you know, Flemington. I mean, you know, good bit inland. I mean, we're talking about right on the Alabama-Florida line up there.
Mm-hmm. And that area still has a lot of sediments on top of it as well. You know, we're a big basin here, we call it a sedimentary basin, where we're just accumulating sediments that are being washed from northern part of the state, from the Appalachian Mountains, and from high areas. And sea level has kind of moved around sometime. So it's been up in that area just recently, really. But if you think about, you know, just how much sediments that we have, that's one of the things that's responsible for all the oil and natural gas that we have in this area. We have these real thick layers of sediment that have been accumulating for millions and millions of years. And so that load is going to continue to be put in this area. So it's been building up for some time, in other words. So, you know, this is sediment that's been captured when sea level was higher in the past, and when sea level was lower as well. It kind of puts a regional stress in the area. So it doesn't have to be just right at the shoreline, in other words, present shoreline.
Yeah, you answered that was my next question, talking about the oil and natural gas around here because of that sediment. So we have this epicenter of the earthquake being around Flemington. If there were this swarming effect, where you said there were, you know, maybe some associated, will they all be associated close to that area, or could there be one over here in Mobile County, or could there be one over in the Florida Panhandle? I mean, is there any kind of rule to that?
Well, the probability would be higher that it's going to be along those pre-existing faults and fractures that we know of. And, you know, there is a chance that there's some faults or fractures in our area that maybe haven't been mapped. You know, it gets kind of difficult to see what's happening underneath the ground, because it's not easy for us to explore down in the subsurface. We can't necessarily find these fractures or faults unless we drill a well or a hole down in the ground, and sometimes we have to look pretty deep, or we use some sort of imaging process. We can use seismic imaging techniques to look down into the subsurface. So I would say that if there was a major fault in our area, then, you know, there probably would have been earthquakes. You know, we'd probably see kind of the same level of activity. So we kind of have to go with the probability and say that, you know, there have been earthquakes there in the past. It's not totally uncommon for that Bahamas fracture zone to have earthquakes, so that's probably where you're going to see more earthquakes into the future. But that said, you know, there is a fault zone that's just north of us that goes through the upper part of the delta, and it's part of what's called the Mobile Graben, and it's a set of north-south running faults that kind of extend northwards towards this Bahamas fracture zone. But we haven't really seen much shaking associated with that, and we would have thought we would have had something by now if it's going to be, you know, an earthquake caused it. But it could happen at any time. I mean, it's a plane of weakness that it could let go, but I wouldn't suspect it anytime soon, just based on what we've seen.
All right, but before we wrap here, because I know you got a class to get to, but I if somebody feels something, and of course I'm going to report, you know, I'm into it, so if we get any news, I'll report it here on the radio station. But if somebody in an isolated situation, like you mentioned, felt something, what's the best resource to go check if that was actually an earthquake, or, you know, somebody happened to just drop a big slab of iron next door or something like that?
USGS is probably going to be the best source. They run a number of seismometers, and these are instruments that are very sensitive to any shaking in the ground. And the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, has a network of these seismometers all throughout the United States and actually worldwide. And they're constantly listening for any sort of vibrations. And so they have the most delicate instrument. They have an automated site that they run where you can actually see earthquakes that have occurred within the last 24 hours or within the last 7 days or 30 days, and they'll show you exactly where those earthquakes are coming from, and they'll plot the epicenter for us, and they'll tell us the magnitude as well. So that's probably the best, most reliable resource for you there is the United States Geologic Survey. They're really good about getting that information out very quickly.
As always, I appreciate you taking time with us and talking more about earthquakes in our area, and I'll be checking back with you soon, maybe sooner than later. It just depends on, you know, the swarms, right?
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Alex Beebe from the University of South Alabama and the Earth Sciences Department. And we're coming right back. More of the Daymobile.